This is a totally different podcast episode than I usually do because here I'm showcasing the amazing people who will be at a Freelance Unlocked conference, the first conference for freelancers that made with love, and it will take place in Berlin on May 15-16, 2024. If you are a freelancer in Europe, it's an event made for you to learn, exchange experiences, and build your network of great freelancers and experts who move the freelance economy forward. So go to freelanceunlocked.com and grab your ticket right away. My name is Yuri. I'm a community builder at Code Control and 9am.work. And my guest is Matteo Cassese, a seasoned business storytelling coach with a diverse background of managing digital marketing for global brands like Warner Bros., teaching at universities such as Lean Campus, and consulting for industry giants like Netflix, who helps executives become assertive, emotionally intelligent, and empathetic leaders. So, hello, Matteo.
Hi, Yuri. Thanks for having me.
Super happy to talk to you. And the first question, how did you start your journey in the freelance world?
Well, it all started when I was in corporate, actually. And as it happens, I've learned the craft. And then I said to myself, why don't I apply it without boundaries? And I did something that, you know, probably it's not the best way to start a solopreneurship, a self-employed kind of business, but I went to my employer and I asked them, could I become a supplier? And that's how it started.
What did they answer to you?
They were very kind, and we entered into an agreement where I would leave the company and stay as a supplier for at least a year. Mm-hmm. And we sort of defined how it would work, what they would need, what I would provide. And I'm not suggesting that other people do this because it comes with a lot of downsides, because it's not like, and now I'm self-employed and there's this ocean of possibilities in front of me. No, I'm still working for exactly the same people.
Yeah, but, go on.
But I got location independence, which was one of the things that I was chasing. And the other thing that I got is that I was doing the work for them, but in my name, rather than doing it for them in their name as an employee. And I think this is a big difference there.
You know, it's a really interesting story because I had conversation with many freelancers and some of them told that they went exactly the same path. So they went to their employers and told like, hey, by the way, I'm thinking about starting my own path, my own way. Like, would you be my client? Would you like to work with me? And, you know, I feel like it takes a lot of honesty and openness and trust relationships with your employee to do that, because a majority of freelancers are usually doing this freelancing thing on the side, and then at some point like they, oh, by the way, I'm leaving. So and I know that you're already for a long time freelancing, so even before it became mainstream, what is your take on the freelance economy and how will it develop in the near future?
What we've seen, I'm not a big observer of the industry, but what I see around me is that the smartest people are not striving for a corporate job. They're either founding companies or working independently. And this is not going away. We live already in this giant disruption that is the internet, and now we kind of feel like it's normal. And we are in this first year and a half, 2 years of very impactful large language models, AI. And these, strangely enough, these tools are helping people in corporate more than they're helping people outside of corporate, because they, you know, if you are just pushing emails around, GPT can do that pretty well. But I see that the different ways of doing work, the personal way, the, as you were saying about the conference that has a heart, if you do your work with your heart, it's needed. And in this sense, I don't see self-employed or solo founders or solopreneurs or however you want to call freelancers going away anytime soon.
But it takes heart, you know, as you've mentioned. And I know that some people are doing it for money because as a freelancer, you can just get paid more and you can work with more clients without any restrictions. And I don't know if so many freelancers also use a heart, you know, when they're doing this work. So I'm curious, how does it work for you? And if you meet other freelancers, solopreneurs, how do you feel that they do it with heart?
The fact that we do it for the money is good and healthy. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
The funny thing is that the more heart you put into it, the more money you make. However, if you say it like this, if you now, if you clip this, you know, and you make it a snippet, it doesn't make any sense at all. Okay, it's too simple. It's too like fluffy, right? If you put more heart, more money will come. It sounds horrible. It is true, but it's such an internal realization and it takes so long to have it inside of you that it's almost an insult to say if you put more heart, you'll get more money. Because the process to get there can take years or decades. But when you get there, you will realize more about your value, more about your relationships, not just with your clients, but with people. You will realize more about what drives you, what energizes you. And all of these things will make you better. And since they've made you better, the market will say, oh, this is pretty cheap. I would pay much more for this. Or the market will say, oh, we want this service, but we want it from that person that is radiating that kind of success in a way. And again, that's another thing we shouldn't clip because again, success doesn't mean anything.
It's so fun. And, you know, I asked you this because I have conversation with many, many people here and there, with community builders, with freelancers, with different entrepreneurs. And even via Zoom, I can feel it. I don't know how, but I can feel if the people have their energy, if they have passion, if they have heart. So that's why I asked you. And I totally get what you're talking about. And you'll be a speaker. Definitely, and Freelance Unlocked. So give me a sneak peek into what you'll be talking about on the Freelance Unlocked stage.
I usually decide what I'm going to talk about like a week before at best, if possible, like the day before. But we can, you know, brush strokes don't need to be too fine. We can paint with really rough strokes. The topic is, why is it so hard to promote yourself? Why is it so easy to talk about how cool an iPhone is and how hard it is to say, oh, I'm the best coach in the world? And it makes you feel like very cringy to say that, right?
Exactly.
Possibly not true in this, in my case. I'm one of the best should be the correct way of saying that. But why does it feel so wrong? So it's going to be a conversation with my audience. And most probably I know where we are going with this because we all heard about imposter syndrome. But there's also that topic that we just talked about with matters of feeling, how does our value make us feel? And also, how do we feel about money? Because a lot of time self-promotion is connected with sales. And everybody says, tell me to do anything but to sell myself. Because we hate translating the value that we bring in the world into, and therefore it costs $1 million. We hate that connection. But it's not because, it's both because we have a worry about our value, but we also have worries about money. We don't have a clear relationship with ourselves and we don't have a clear relationship with money. So I think we're going to talk about these things. And talking about money in Berlin is also quite polarizing because there's a lot of thinking and feeling about that.
So tell me a little bit more about why do people don't want to connect to kind of bring theirs. I'm trying to find words. Why do not people want to translate the great job and the great result that they're bringing to their clients into the money language?
The answer is different for everyone, but I think there's quite a few things that we do in society that determine this shift. One of the things is, if you look at a movie like The Wolf of Wall Street, the story of Jordan Belfort, there is something slimy and bad and corrupt that we associate with sales. And if you look at a traditional society structure that we have in the West, we have this very defined professions. You're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a mechanic, you're a gardener, and so on. And we are going beyond these categories. You know, oftentimes I will want a gardener who is a philosopher. And that's what I'm going to find in the beautiful world of self-employed professionals. Or I will want a mechanic who's a coder. And we find it very, we've been given a structure that tells us, here's your value, here's what you do, and here's sales. Like, they're all separate things. Your value is internal, what you do is external, and sales is something else that other people do. And we have a very big difficulty in creating a world for ourselves, especially being alone as self-employed professionals, to create a world for ourselves where all these things come together, and the relationship with money also independently. Like, money is good, money is bad, money is ruining the world, money is making the world possible, money is destroying the planet, money is should be in my pocket, shouldn't be in my pocket, should be given to charity, all of these elements.
Like, it's so much deeper conversation that have to be that than we are having right now, because, you know, to understand like the deep connections with everyone's with money and the connection with your own struggles within, and as you've told that it's different for every person. But I just want to ask you, so what role plays storytelling here? So what is the storytelling from your perspective, and what is your take on this well-known hero's journey approach?
So stop me, because this is a topic where I can go a bit long, but I've started to go even beyond this. I'm going to explain myself in a second. So storytelling is a great tool. It's a set of tools that we can use to bring about change. The reason why we tell stories is we want other people to think or behave differently. And what we have discovered is that the translation of mythology and religion and great stories into the arts and science of storytelling is extremely useful for anybody who needs to communicate anything. And in this sense, the work that Joseph Campbell has done with the hero's journey, from, for instance, The Hero with 1,000 Faces, which obviously is always on my desk, together with many other books, is extremely fruitful for everyone who wants to express themselves. That now, it's very limiting to think in these terms, because we are taking something that is extremely powerful, that comes from the cave paintings that we were doing 20, 30,000 years ago. And it's very hard to contemplate 30,000 years. It's like, in our minds, it becomes kind of blank, right?
Yeah.
And it goes all the way to the big religions and the big religious books. And it goes all the way to Star Wars. It goes all the way to Dune in cinemas right now. Do watch part two. And we reduce all of this to we can tell a story like this. And what I think is really powerful is that we can expand from that. Once we tell a story, we can expand from that and take more inspiration, not just from storytelling, but from mythology and world building, which I think are much more powerful. But now I'm going to stop because I said many things.
I feel like storytelling is not something somebody can do in one post or in one article or in one video or whatever. I feel like storytelling is your approach to life. And basically you are living your own story and you are articulating it to other. Basically you are inviting other people into your life story, into what you are doing. And I feel like for freelancers, if you are doing the storytelling like from the business perspective, you kind of inviting clients into this story, into this journey. So you invite them to be there. And some people say, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm not a writer. I'm not trained. So do you think they can't be storytellers?
If you try to tell a kid a story and there is no bad person in this story and there's no structure and there's nothing happening and there's no ending, this kid will nag you forever. Okay. And this is all of us. So we are all capable of telling great stories. There is something preventing us from seeing what is our role in storytelling. As you were saying, I can't storytell in a post. Well, I can technically, all right? I can use a beginning, a hook, like a YouTube video. I can use a hook. I can give a snippet of what happens at the end, but then get you all the way to the journey and all the difficulties and I cannot get there, etc. I can do that, but there I'm not necessarily speaking the truth. What's really interesting is to have each and every professional be true to themselves and tell the world openly in a vulnerable way what they feel, how they see the world. And then this will resonate with a certain type of client that will hire them like crazy. But it takes a lot of vulnerability and openness and availability to be out there. And again, that structure in society that tells us Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street, that's another thing. It's slimy. I am pure. Sales is bad. Tells us we can't tell our story as it is with all the bad parts and all the sadness and all the confusion and all the fact that this is not, nothing is going according to plan, which is fantastic because that's life.
How to get to this level of vulnerability?
I would say coaching in one word. It's an exploration of self. So the big thing that we can change to make a dent in the world is not necessarily by creating a company or a product, but it's really how we are and how we act every day. And also how we act also not in a business context. Are we nice to nature when we go out on a walk or something like that? And I think this journey is not for everyone because it's a journey where you become the leader of yourself. You explore yourself and you become the owner of yourself. And for a lot of people, I understand that it's much easier to be a follower and not to be the owner of yourself and not to do this deep exploration. If somebody wants to bring value in the world in the least intermediated way, which is the kind of work that the participants of the conference do, I think this kind of work is mandatory.
You know, when you're told coaching, I also got this word in my mind, therapy. So I feel like it's pretty much go side by side. And also what I feel that sometimes it's hard to be your true self because you always have this, first of all, public opinion. And secondly, you have this money. And for example, as a freelancer, if you are not acting right, you won't get projects. If you have a good project and you are not acting right, you will lose those projects. So how do you think how to be your true self and still pursue your passion and be vulnerable and open while taking money out of the equation?
Now, if I had the answer to this, it would be on a fantastic book that I would suggest that you buy. I don't have a straight answer to this. The main thing that I can tell you is when you are in this situation where you want to be vulnerable, but you also want to have clients, but you also want to have money, but you want to be true to yourself, at least what I find myself in is a situation where I think that there is a bad Matteo and a good Matteo. And that's pure fiction. Usually bad Matteo is really good and good Matteo is totally shit. Does that make sense?
I kind of understand what you're talking about, but you can elaborate a little more.
Okay, I got myself in trouble here. So it's really this sensation that if I reveal something about myself, I am being a bad boy or a bad girl. Okay, I'm misbehaving. I am not allowed. I don't have permission. That's the blockage. How to get over the blockage, that's a work of months and years. But mostly what I noticed is that if you clarify your relationship to yourself, your relationship to the expectations that you have about yourself, the expectations that other people have about you, that's also quite important. And then the other immediate aspect is, what is money? Is money something good, something bad? Is something to have, something to spend? Is something to accumulate? Is something to give others to manage? Because there you will realize that, oh, I'm not getting any clients, I'm not getting any money. Maybe because deep down you don't want it. And you think that money is dirty and money is not pure and your art is pure. And that's okay. Maybe you need to do art. So sometimes the solution is not always more money. In most cases it is. But there's also a marginal value of money. If you have no money and I give you 1,000 euros, that's a lot. That enables a lot of things. You can maybe buy clothes and food for some times. If you have 1,000,000 euros and I give you 1,000 euros, it's not going to change a thing. You might, it's not even enough money for a nice watch, basically. Yeah. So you will say, okay, I don't even know what I'm going to do with that.
I recall this quote from Haruki Murakami, who told that money allows me to buy time, and I use this time to write books. So I feel like it's also a great approach of thinking about this, not like, hey, oh, money is bad, money are, like, you can always find your higher purpose. And at the end of the day, you know, it's always either you put yourself, either you put your money into work, and you can kind of buy it. You can't buy time, but you still can't do it. So it's like this Schrödinger's paradox, I would say. And, you know, you'll be at the Freelance Locked conference. And definitely, because you're a speaker. But I wonder, what would you say to your friend if they asked you whether they should go to the Freelance Locked?
So what I would say is there is no substitute for people coming together in a physical space. And I don't think there will ever be a substitute in terms of a sense of community, sharing ideas, having those conversations. And it's not about the sessions in the rooms, okay? It's not about my session or anybody else's session. It's about the conversations that you're going to have in the hallways, in the gardens, at the pubs, at the bars, and at the restaurants after the conference, or at the coffee shop before the conference. This is where the real value is. And if you invest the time to spend with people like you, you will discover that you're not the only one that has that problem, that you're not the only one that is struggling with certain aspects. You will also discover that you're not struggling with some things, that some things you are an ace at and other people are struggling with. And you will understand yourself much better. Just allow yourself to join these in-person events and check your introvertedness at the door for like 2 or 3 days. If you're shy, just check it with the coat check and just talk to people, relate to people. Don't network, talk to people. Be open, talk about your problems, discover if there are common problems, discover what the solutions are. If there's sponsors, talk to the sponsors, because most of the time they will have a solution for your problems, or anyway, they might be interesting people and their task is to actually talk to you. So if you're shy, you can talk to them and just use all of the spaces in between what's officially on the program to make this your conference.
What is the best way to connect with you before the conference?
I would say LinkedIn. I'm pretty, I try to be pretty active on LinkedIn. So that would be my straightforward answer. And like every good cobbler, my website is in complete disarray. Don't go there. It speaks another language. It's about me a year ago. It's a disaster. So LinkedIn is a great way.
Got it, Matteo. Thank you so much for sharing your deep thoughts even before the conference. And I can't wait to learn even more from you on Freelance Unlocked, and hope to see you there very soon in person.
I hope to meet you in person as well there. Thank you so much for the thoughtful questions.
Thank you very much. And for those who listen to this episode, I hope you learn from Matteo's experience and say thank you to him in person at the Freelance Unlocked conference on May 15th, 16th in Berlin. And go to the freelanceunlocked.com, grab your ticket and meet you there.